The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody, again. Good morning again. And today, as we begin to look at the Word of God, our prayer is that God will open our eyes to see as we ought to see. We will hear as we ought to hear, in the mighty name of Jesus. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. And so shall it be. The heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. Now, have you noticed that when you are relating with certain people, a lot of people do it, you know, and you are speaking to them and you are dealing with them, it's the best way to describe how they deal is that they are beating about the bush. Have you met people that beat about the bush? You are talking about X, but they will go to A, then to B, then to C. And you're like, look, we are talking about X. They say, wait. They go to E, they go to F, they go to... You're like, but X is before us. Let's focus on the heart of the matter. Hallelujah. And some lives are simply like that. Some lives are simply like that. Lives are lived as though people are shadow boxing. You know, it's as if they're just beating the air. People are just living, some people are just living as if they're just, you know, beating the air, shadow boxing. And Paul would say, I don't fight as if I'm shadow boxing. I don't live my life as though I'm shadow boxing. And people are 60, 70, even people at the end of their lives, they are still shadow boxing. If you look at your life and you've spent 20 some years in this earth, and it's as if you are shadow boxing, or it's, you're in your 30s, it's as if you're shadow boxing. You're in your 40s, as if you're shadow boxing. You need to zoom into the heart of the matter. And the way it works is that when we zoom into the heart of the matter, everything flows from it. Everything else flows from it. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. I mean, this is from someone that has beaten about the bush, you know. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. It says that, that's the whole story. Now, here is the conclusion, another transition says, of the whole matter. Here now is my final conclusion. Here's the heart of the matter. It says, fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. Now, you know, if that were coming from someone from kindergarten, you're like, well, you have not really seen life. If that were coming from someone that maybe was poor, hasn't experienced certain things, you say, well, you've not really seen life. If that were coming from someone that was limited in their worldview, you would say, well, you've not really seen life. This was coming from King Solomon himself. If we back up to Ecclesiastes 1, now, it says, I'm reading from the ESV version of the Bible. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. Now, this is someone. He had 300 wives, 700 concubines in his exploration. It was like, I'm going to explore the world. I'm going to explore enjoyment. I'm going to explore life. By the time he's beating about the bush, he's gone to the left, gone to the right, gone to the front, come behind, done everything. His conclusion was vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Says, what does a man gain by all his toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes. Says, but the earth remains. The earth remains. If you go to verse 8, it says, all things are full of weariness, of beating about the bush. And a man cannot utter it. It says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear is not filled with hearing. A man is not satisfied with hearing. If you say you want to see, you can't see finish. That's what he's saying. You can't see finish. There's nothing. You see, even the concept of see finish, when people are holding in contempt what they are familiar with, you know, so it's familiarity, they say, breathes contempt, right? So the problem is that they are limited in scope. Even in the things you think you are familiar with, there's an endless possibility that you have not experienced. So if you, which is why familiarity is such a limiting factor with God, with people, even with your children. When you think, so some people are holding their children in contempt because they become familiar, you know. But that child that you're looking at with small eye, what they are capable of doing will shock you to your bones. To your bones. The mother of Jesus refused to look at Jesus with small eye. He refused to say, this one that I breastfed, said to them, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Whatever it tells you to do, do it. So when people are familiar, when they become familiar with someone or become familiar with a situation or is your organization or your boss or your wife or your husband or your child, you are actually limiting yourself. Why? Because there are endless possibilities with the person that you have limited yourself with, that you are familiar with. You're saying, oh, is it not just X? Meanwhile, X is capable of 10,000 other things that will blow your mind completely. So, the preacher is saying, the eyes is not satisfied with seeing. That is, the eyes, I know they see finish. So, see finish is a limitation. When you see something, you think you see finish, you have limited yourself. Why? Because eyes know they see finish. Yes, no, they hear finish. just know the end. You know, the people that are giving to that understand that, you know. So, but in the context of life, he's saying that, look, I've seen this, I've seen that, I've seen everything that I could see because I had the resources to explore. All is vanity. And if you look at it, you could explore that scripture from someone that is going through a depressed state, that is, the guy is so unhappy, is depressed, right? That may be correct. However, it is for a reason. It is because of the emptiness of beating about the bush. Because of the emptiness of beating about the bush. I mean, if you are just beating about the bush, you cannot achieve much at work. You see someone that is just beating about the bush. He's not going to deliver any project. You need to stay with the heart of the matter. If your life is going to be fruitful, if your life is going to be productive, you need to stay where? With the heart of the matter. This man had, like you said, 300 wives, 700 concubines. I mean, in a year, you have 365 days. So, if he sleeps with one woman a day, he's not going to go around. You need, so a woman is only available once in 2 years, you say. So you only see your husband or your man once in 2 years, you know, because other women are lining up too. And the man himself, his conclusion is all is vanity. All is vanity. So that's why in verse 13, I like the NLT translation. It says, that's the whole story, my dear. In other words, that's the whole story. Here now is the final conclusion. Here is the heart of the matter. Here is the heart. Here is the cocoa of the matter. The real deal of the matter is this. Fear God and obey his commands. For this is everyone's duty. Every single one. You see, if you live your life and you zoom into this heart of the matter, which is fear God, obey him, you will be at peace, your life will be at rest, you will be, I mean, what is depression? What is anxiety? What, all those things come because of beating about the bush. Beating about the bush. The core of your being, if you focus it, fear God, align with him, obey his commandments. That is the heart of the matter. I mean, KJV, you know, just, you know, expresses it in a very sweet way. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The cocoa, the conclusion of the whole matter. This is, I have gone to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. I've experimented this. I've done that. I've done that. The conclusion is this. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty. Whole duty of man. To what? Fear God and keep his commandments. The whole duty. The whole duty. I was listening to some man speak, you know. I was just relaxing. This came up and I was like, okay, let me hear what he has to say. And what he was saying was that he said he was beating his chest and inadvertently waving his fist at God. He said that before, when he came to being a man, that he challenged God. But when he challenged God, because he had been, in his words, he had been indoctrinated and, you know, that, you know, God is powerful, God will strike you, God is this and that, you know, that he actually expected to be struck when he slept at night. And he was ready for it. But he woke up in the morning, he was fresher, he had more energy, and he was like, there is no God. And he started abusing God, abusing everything that, you know, represents God on earth or stood before God on earth. And I was saying to myself, you know, that is where God is dangerous. You know, God doesn't have to respond to you. You can't, you know how many people abuse God every day? How many people, if he's responding to them, I mean, God doesn't have to. In fact, you can abuse him and he can give you orange juice. That's God. That's God. That's God. When fool said, and you know, I'm not being abusive, I mean, it's just a fool, because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there's no God. You know, he said, they asked him that, okay, you are so sure there's no God. He said, absolutely. So this is another person. He said, what if you show up, you die, you show up, and there was actually a God, and you are standing before him, and it's all that they say that he is, strong, mighty, awesome, majestic. What would you do? He said, I would abuse him. And he said all the abuses he will give God. I laughed. I'm like, you'll be peeing in your pants, my guy. You'll be peeing in your pants, you know? Because God doesn't need you to exist. You need God to exist. So it's to the heart of the matter. When you cut it and dice it, it's fear God. Fear God. You see, people make certain decisions and like, does this person really fear God? People say certain things. People deal with certain situations. And I'm like, does this person really fear God? People don't fear God because they feel that they will go scot-free. They feel that they have gone scot-free. And they have case references of, oh, this person doesn't fear God, is going scot-free. That person doesn't fear God. In fact, is rich and powerful. That person doesn't fear God. You see, when you look at how God set things up, the first thing is, you have to run your own race. That's number one. Number two, when you see and understand how God is behind and the master planner of the whole thing, everything's going to work in his favor, you'll be at peace, because God is in control. God is in absolute control. I know the situations in the world suggest otherwise. God is in absolute control of things. Everything is going to work out in his favor. As he intends. So to work with God, today I'm praying that God will give you understanding in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that God will give you peace in your heart in the name of Jesus, that God will give you calmness of soul, that your soul will not be troubled because you understand the heart of the matter. And one of the things that we struggle with is that when we started our work with God, a lot of us, we were indoctrinated, either knowingly or unknowingly by our leaders or, you know, probably that's all they knew, was that when you've accepted to follow God, then you do this, you do that. I don't want to start iterating and going over. I mean, we all know this. You do that. You do this, you do that. You see, but the more you walk with God, the more you look at scriptures, the more you understand God, you realize that, honestly, it doesn't start with what you do. It starts with surrendering to him. And If that is all you do, if you must do something, you have done all that needs to be done. Surrendering to Him. So our walk with God does not start with what we do. It starts with who we are with Him. So, okay, yeah, I get it. We have to do good works. Yes, our light has to shine before men so that men will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. However, you cannot give what you don't have. You can't. I'm breaking this down because there should be no ambiguity in our minds. You can't give what you don't have. You want to deliver this. You want to deliver that. You want to deliver 1 hour of prayer. You want to deliver 2 weeks of fasting. You want to deliver this spiritual activity. You want to deliver that. It's not about if you deliver. It's about if you surrender. Are you going to surrender? I mean, that is the crux of the matter. Micah 6, you know, this question is from generation to generation. And those that get it, their lives are beautiful. Their lives are different. And you will get it in the name of Jesus. Micah 6, verse 6 to 8. Micah 6, 6 to 8 says, with what shall I come before the Lord? Now, you see that? It started with what shall, what? You know, with what to do. What shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before God on high. Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings? Is it with fasting and prayer? Is it with sowing seeds and giving sacrifices? Is it with calves a year old? Since will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? What can I do? What can I bring? How can I sacrifice? That has been the story and the quest in the heart of men from time immemorial. It says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What can I give? What can I do? How can I make this work? And verse 8, it says, He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? And this is this. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Actually, these three should happen simultaneously. But if we are to take it in order, it kicks in the reverse. What am I saying? It actually starts with walking humbly with your God. Surrender, surrendering, walking with God. That's where it starts from. Then, love kindness. Then, do justice. So, it starts, as you can see, with walk humbly with God. That is where it starts from. Then, because you are walking with God, and God is love, you will love kindness. And because you love kindness, you can do justice. Oh, that's so powerful. Many times, we are trying to do justice, to do justly, to behave justly, but we are frustrated, we are exasperated, we are burning out. But We should start with walk humbly with your God. Then you will discover that your heart is filled with His love and you love kindness. You are kind to people. You are kind. You are not mean. You are not abusive. You are not treating people with disdain and you know. Then you will be able to do justice and do what is right. Now, interestingly, if you consider every major religion in the world, mostly it is do. If you have to summarize everything about them, it's do. And even the Christian religion, if you're a religious Christian, and that's why people get frustrated, it's all about doing. Do. You need to do this. Then God will be pleased with you. We need to appease God. We need to sacrifice to God. You need to do this. You need to do that. It's religion. However, our faith in Christ can be summarized in one word, and that word is done. Done. So here they are saying do. Jesus is saying done. They are saying you have to do. Jesus is saying it is finished. It is done. It is done. It is done. It is done. The price for your freedom, done, paid for. Here they say you need to do A, you need to do B, you need to do C. I mean, I grew up in faith. When I began to serve God and all that, casting demons out of people, I used to do that a lot. I used to conduct deliverances. I mean, demons, see them, they fly out, people scream, they get delivered. Praise God. Praise God. And many times, sometimes that brute force method is required, But as I grew in God, I discovered that the greatest deliverance is understanding that the price for your deliverance has been paid 2,000 years ago and it is done. So you can actually walk out on the devil and there's nothing he can do. You can actually walk out. So it's like saying, you're free, come out. Instead of going there and be dragging them out. And eventually, people you drag out, if they don't realize and embrace that freedom, they will go back by themselves. The greatest freedom and deliverance comes with what? Embracing what has been done for you. So the greatest thing that you can do or that can happen to you is you embracing what has been done for you. That's the heart of the matter. Stop beating about the bush. Stop beating about the bush. Are you beating about the bush? Focus on the heart of the matter. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, bro, stop beating about the bush. Sis. Stop beating about the bush. Focus on the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. Ecclesiastes, back to Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, after all this, there's only one thing to say. Only one thing to say. After all this, meandering, God, explored drinking, explored idolatry, explored women, explored everything. So there's only one thing to say. After all this. Have reverence for God. You see, check that decision that you're about to make. Is it out of reverence for God? Can you say you fear God and you made that decision? Can you say the thing you're about to say? Yes, you want to say it. Yes, the person has pissed you off. It could even be your spouse. Yes, you do. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fear God. Reverence God in that decision. Reverence God. Then you will be able to obey His command, because the command will be burdensome if you do not submit, surrender, reverence Him. He says, because this is all that we were created for. It's all we were created for. You know, when you read scriptures like Psalm 46 verse 10, Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, you see that? Be still and know that He is God. So, being in that place of peace is a prerequisite to God revealing Himself in your situation. Being still. Now, what does it mean to be still? The root word for still, and this will blow your mind. The root word for still, to be still there, literally means, it doesn't mean, it leads to that. It doesn't mean to be calm. It obviously leads to that. What it literally means is drop it. That is all it means. Drop it and know that I am God. What argument do you have in your mind? Drop it. What ploy do you have cooking up? Drop it. The things that are your own machinations, drop it and know that I am God. Until you drop it, you won't know. You won't come into that experience. It won't be exalted in your situations. But until you drop it, so be still is to drop it. So you have to drop it. Now, that is obvious for our own ways, our own antics, our own plans, right? That's obvious for the things that are obviously negative, right? That has crept into people's lives. But it's also true for things that are good. It's also true for things that God Himself has blessed you with. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that you need to drop. God has given you a brilliant idea, great plan, right? Fantastic. Praise God. But guess what? You need to drop it. This, if you get it, and I pray that you get it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you need to drop it. When you do, then He breathes on it. Then His greatness is exalted in it when you do. But when you hold it and you don't drop it, sometimes God has blessed you with things. It's a blessing from Him, but you are keeping it from Him as though He wants to take it from you. But God is saying, but I gave it to you. But many times and that's why we are not at peace. We are not still. Because even the things that God has blessed us with, we engage them as though they are at variance with God. So to be delivered from that, you have to drop it. And to drop it, by the time you take it back up, it is empowered. It is empowered. God said to Moses, what do you have in your hands? Moses, my rod, my source of livelihood, what you blessed me with. That's what I used in shepherding. That's how I am able to provide. That's how I'm able to fend for my family. That's how I'm able to control my workspace. That's how I'm able to chart the course. It's also a defensive mechanism. I'm able to protect my flock. I'm able to, and it went on and on. That rod is huge and significant, and it's a blessing from God. God said, drop it. Drop it. And many times, we struggle, we don't drop it. And to the extent to which you struggle, to that extent you can't be still. But when you drop it, then you will know that He is God. Then that same thing will be empowered by God. So by the time Moses dropped his rod, it was empowered. By the time he picked it up, drop it. Drop it, my brother. Drop it, my sister. Drop it. Drop it. But Pastor, this there's nothing wrong with this. It's of God. Of course it is. But drop it before Him. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. I can give you stories upon stories upon stories. Is he David? Is he Joseph? Is he Abraham? Abraham, God gave him a son. He waited 25 years for that son. God gave him a son. God gave him a son. At 25 years from the time of promise, that is, God gave him a son. Correct? And God said to him, that son, you have to drop it. You have to drop him. You see, it's take that son, your only son, Isaac, sacrifice him. Boom! Abraham understood. And he took Isaac and dropped him. He was still. Then he knew that God is God. God is saying to you, my brother, be still and know that I am God. So be still and know that I am God means drop it and know that I am God. Drop that thing. Drop it. Then you will know. Then you will come into an experience that you have never, never engaged before. So be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. You want to experience God? Think about the areas you want to experience God in your whole life. Be still. And sometimes when we have heard be still, we want to know how. This is how, my brother, my sister, this is how. You have to drop it. The things you consider negative that are, the things that are, you need to drop them. The things you even consider positive, they are good, they are God's blessings, you need to surrender them to Him. Then you will know that He is God. God will be exalted in your life in the name of Jesus. God will be exalted in your situation in the name of Jesus. God will be magnified in the name of Jesus. He will introduce Himself to your adversaries in the name of Jesus. He will be exalted in your life in the name of Jesus. So bro, sis, Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, after all this, there's only one thing to say. Have reverence for God. Obey His commands, because this is all that we were created for.